Josh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. In Tallahassee, a deadly shooting at the Florida State University campus today. FSU Police Chief Jason Trumbauer says the gunman opened fire near the student union and confirmed those who died.
Two victims of deceased are deceased, and five individuals have been transported to a local hospital with gunshot wounds.
The suspect in custody, police say he's an FSU student. ABC's Aaron Katursky has more.
His name is Phoenix Eichner, 20 years old, the son of an active duty Leon County Sheriff's deputy, an 18-year veteran. And we did a quick lookup of her biography, and it seems at least for a time she served as a school resource officer, someone who went two campuses in order to protect them from this kind of violence.
Police say they'll continue to investigate how the suspect gained access to a service weapon that was used. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news in depth. Find it in the news section at WISS.FM. For 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. The Weiss Earth Science Museum on the UWO Fox Cities campus is Wisconsin's official mineralogical museum, and it may move to the History Museum at the Castle in downtown Appleton now that the Winnebago County Board has voted to transfer ownership of the museum to Outagamie County. Dr. Dustin Mack, executive director of the History Museum at the Castle, assured the board that the museum would continue just in another place.
By moving the Weiss to the History Museum at the Castle, we can ensure that this community asset is preserved but enhanced for the next generation. It's not about taking something, it's about preserving it.
The ball is now, as they say, in Outagamie County's court. They will vote on accepting the Weiss and selling the rest of the UWO Fox Cities campus to Winnebago County for $1 at an upcoming meeting. Unless you've been living under a rock, you probably know that the NFL Draft 2025 is coming to Northeast Wisconsin in just 1 week. Officials with Appleton Department of Public Health, Calumet County Public Health, Menasha Health Department, Outagamie Public Health, and Winnebago County Public Health are all coming together to ask residents to check their protection against measles. Measles outbreaks have been reported across the country, and with over 250,000 people coming to the area for the draft, there's a chance residents could be exposed to the virus, which is spread through coughing and sneezing. The measles virus can remain in the air and infect people for up to 2 hours after an infected person leaves a place. From local news to what's going on around the state, Civic Media's mission is to bring you real news and great conversations. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News. For news anytime, visit WISS.FM.
The Brewers tanked the Tigers. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers with a 5-1 win over the Tigers. Sal Frelick hit his first home run of the season and talked about getting back-to-back victories to win the series after losing to Detroit Monday 9-1.
Super short memory in this locker room. Ton of guys, you know, were just showing up the next day. Long season. So, I mean, wins and losses. You have a good win next day. You have a tough loss. Yeah, just keeping that short memory in the locker room.
Basketball, the Bucks head to Indy to play the Pacers Saturday. Game one of their best-of-7 playoff series. In Green Bay, the NFL draft now just 1 week away. Packers president Mark Murphy.
This is the second biggest event that the league has. It's exciting that we're able to have it here in Green Bay, and the economic impact, I think it's $94 million statewide. There'll be 250,000 people here over the 3 days. It'll be a 3-day commercial for Wisconsin and Green Bay, and it's just publicity that, you know, you really can't match.
That's the Packers' Mark Murphy. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Scattered storms this evening, some could be strong, still a shower or two overnight, and a low in the low 50s. More showers and storms possible tomorrow, mostly cloudy and a high in the mid-60s. Mostly dry and pleasant for the weekend, with highs in the 50s. Currently at 62 degrees.
Yo, I'm your old basketball. Haven't seen you out on the courts in a while. Why not pass me over to Goodwill?
Donating Me helps Goodwill's mission to provide career training and support services right here in the community. And that's a slam dunk. Donate today. Hey, I got next.
To find your nearest Goodwill locations and to learn more about our mission, please visit goodwill.org. Goodwill, where your things start new lives.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one outstanding, just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11. The Dr. Kristen Lierley Show.
This week, we are talking with Emmy award-winning journalist and Green Bay gal Kelly Peterson and Lana Nyland, founder and CEO of Ukrainian Patriot.
Saturday and Sunday afternoons at 3 on WGBW and WISS.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Net and Air on Air.
Excited to announce a new programming lineup starting Wednesday, April 23rd. The new afternoon news talk lineup will include the Todd Alba Show from 2 to 4 p.m., the Maggie Dawn Show from 4 to 6 p.m., and Nightlight with Pete Schwabba from 6 to 8. For all the details of our programming lineup changes, head over to the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us/press, to learn more. We now take you to an encore best of the Dom Salvia Show. Enjoy.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
So, pal, Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, joining us for this hour.
Do you guys have snow from last night, or did you not get
this? Nope, no snow here. How's it up in Green Bay, man?
Well, everything's white. It's not very deep, but everything's white. And last night, we had every kind of precipitation imaginable.
Yeah.
We just had rain.
Spring in Wisconsin.
Sprinter.
It's amazing. Harvey, you know, like when fall first starts and winter comes in, it's so pretty. And by this time, we're like, oh, my God. Let's get
you are. I'm happy.
Oh, you still like the white.
I still like
it. Nope, you'll take it no matter how long.
Yeah.
No.
Oh. Give me snow in May.
Oh.
Funny you say that.
Blasphemy.
Damn it, Dom.
Wake it up,
throw
you guys.
Throw your pens
Stop.
At me.
what I was going to say is what I was hoping last night is that at least in the morning, you know, when there's that snow which leaves behind a kind of crystalline, it's crystal-like on the tree limbs. The trees don't like it, but it's just gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah.
The sun shines on it and it sparkles. I was hoping for that today. That's not what happened.
It's like a Christmas card when it gets like that. Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
it
that's
is.
Right.
It is. But unlike Jess, I'm down for the hot weather come July. And hey, Harvey, it's getting hot in here. This administration, man, I cannot. It is hard. We talked about it last hour, and we're going to continue to talk about it. I want to get your impression. Jeffrey Goldberg from the failing Atlantic. I mean, if you hear Trump, Trump doesn't know. I'm an old man. I'm confused. He even know what's going on. I mean, he gets included on this and this signal invite and talking about military attacks on Yemen, man. And it's like such Bush League amateur hour. It's hard to even believe it. And then I want to play the clip and let's talk about this and get your perspective, Harvey. Donald Trump asked about this today. We play it last hour. Let's play it again, if you would, please, Jess. Here is Donald Trump confronting presumably illegal sharing of national security information by the highest levels of his administration, Pete Hegseth, Vice President Vance, right? Not Vance, not Pence, Vance, and what? Everyone else, everybody was involved. Let's hear what Trump had to say.
Your reaction to the story in The Atlantic that said that some of your top cabinet officials and aides had been discussing very sensitive material through Signal and included an Atlantic report for that. What is your response to that?
I'm not a big fan of The Atlantic. To me, it's a magazine that's going out of business. I think it's not much of a magazine, but I know nothing about it. You're saying that they had what?
What?
They were using Signal to coordinate on sensitive materials.
Having to do with what? Having to do with what? What were they talking about?
With the Houthis.
The Houthis? You mean the attack on the Houthis?
Right.
Well, it couldn't have been very effective because the attack was very effective. I can tell you that. I don't know anything about it. You're telling me about it for the first time.
The boss didn't know anything about it. I don't know if that's even better worse.
Right. Is that good news? Is that worse
Sleepy
news?
Don. Wait a minute. Oh, yeah.
See? That's great. And Harvey, thank you for bringing that up. One of, course, the obvious ironies, let's call it, hypocrisies, that if this were to be, I'll call it President Joe Biden, Fox, don't call it news, and the righties would be losing their frickin' minds right now. But Donald Trump, he knows nothing, and I heard Fox News earlier today when they started out talking about the immigration lawsuits that are going on. And finally, about 20 after the hour, got to it and were very, well, that's bad, but, I bet they wish they could take it back kind of attitude. This is devastating. We're talking about J.D. Vance. We're talking about Tulsi Gabbard, Secretary of the Treasury, Scott Bessent, Dan Katz, Dan Caldwell, Department of Defense. Brian McCormick for the NSC, John Ratcliffe, the CIA. I mean, it's not great, man. And let's not forget, of course, the most important one, Jeffrey Goldberg. And for Donald Trump to say this is a failing magazine, man, they just blew your administration to pieces, man. And you invited them. Harvey, please help me.
Well, let me start off by saying, for the historical record, that I believe the Atlantic was founded back in the before the Civil War, easily back maybe in the 1840s.
It's been failing for a long time, Harvey.
Failing for a long time, you bet. Okay. This is, when I heard this, a young fellow out in California amongst many people was sending me this story. And I read it and I thought, wait, this is a joke, isn't it? This is a joke. And then I tried to figure out, what is Hegseth? What? He's the guy who sent it, right? Hegseth?
Yes.
Michael, advisor.
The connection request that Goldberg got was from Michael Walls.
Oh,
but Hegseth,
no relation to Tim.
No. But Hegseth was the one 2 hours before the attack that sounded the final battle plan that made Jeffrey Goldberg believe that this was in fact not a joke and it was real because the bomb started
Michael
flying.
Walls alive today, by the way, is he still alive today?
Who's that? I'm sorry.
Michael Walls, the guy who sent it.
He might be in a jail in
El Salvador,
right?
What can one say? I mean, this, I rarely use the word evil, but I forwarded that piece of information to a bunch of people, and I said, evil and stupid. Okay. Evil and stupid. Evil because they are. Stupid because they can't control their evil. It's like they want to brag about it. They want to brag about it to the point of jeopardizing national security. What can we say?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not convinced they actually care about national security. If they did, they wouldn't be doing an app, man. You know what I mean?
Right. Hegseth and his team probably said, look, my title is Department of Secretary of Defense. Somebody else has national security. It's not my problem. Right? You're right.
Yeah. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That's Harvey Kaye, Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. We're talking about this breaking news, this leak, an errant invite sent out to a journalist at the Atlantic. And I think also, Harvey, one of the things that bothered me, besides all this, but if you get into actually looking at some of the texts, J.D. Vance says, hey, Pete Hegseth, if you think we should do it, let's go. I just hate bailing Europe out again. Yeah. Then Vance goes on to say, let's just make sure our messaging is tight here. And if there are things we can do up front to minimize risk to Saudi oil facilities, we should do it. Now, when is our national security concerns about the Houthis is all of a sudden an issue with Saudi oil facilities? Is that part of our national interests, Harvey?
Well, they would definitely say that oil interests are part of American national security, although they've been bragging. That I think Obama started. We're bragging that, we're like the leading oil producer in the world.
We've never produced as much as we did last year under Biden in the history of this country, but we're going to do more.
Yeah. And by the way, I don't mean to segue away from this, but is it true that they're sending a delegation, an American delegation to Greenland, which will include Vance's wife?
I think it did happen. I don't believe it was received very well, but I didn't dig into it. That's my impression.
I'd love to hear the logic behind that move.
This is a great island he got here. Be terrible if something happened to it. Now, here's Pete Hegseth. Here's the Secretary of Defense, right? I mean, this is the guy, man. This is the man. VP, I fully share your loathing of European freeloading. It's, all caps, pathetic. Yeah, there's Pete Hegseth about our European allies. But he goes on. But Mike is correct. We're the only ones on the planet, on our side of the ledger, who can do this. Nobody else, even close. Question is timing. I feel like now is a good time as any, given POTUS directive to reopen shipping lanes. I think we should go. But POTUS still retains 24 hours decision notice.
24 hours decision notice? Hell, he doesn't even know what's going on.
Now,
Mike,
there's
according to his own account.
No, right. Indeed. Exactly. I don't even know. But maybe he knew what was going on as far as the attack. He didn't know how they were communicating, perhaps. Now, there's an SM. He jumps in here. Now, the Atlantic assumes this is Stephen Miller. As I heard it, the president was clear. Green light. But we soon make clear to Egypt and Europe that we expect in return. What we expect in return. We also need to figure out how to enforce such a requirement. Ergo, if Europe doesn't remunerate, then what? If the U.S. successfully restores freedom of navigation at grace cost, there needs to be some further economic gain extracted in return. Now, what I'm reading there is that we want to get paid for this from what? From Egypt and Europe. Pay us. We're going to do this. Pay us. Pete Hegseth, agree. Now, is it part of the Department of Defense's concern whether or not there's, I don't know, payback? Yeah, that Europe and Egypt pay America back in what?
With Donald Trump in office and Elon Musk as intimate advisor, every department is now the Department of Commerce. Let's be clear about that, number one, okay? And number two, by the way, I promise not to pick on you after this.
Okay.
It's remunerate, is it not?
Remunerate?
Right. Renumerate is to...
Remunerate. Okay, maybe I read that wrong. Remunerate. Correct. Thank you, Harvey. Hey, man, correct me all the... If I'm ever wrong, it's so rare. Please, please correct me.
He might throw a pen at you, though.
Yeah. Is this a window? I'm not actually threatening. I'm just emphasizing. Harvey, then one final thing, at least on this topic, and we could take your calls as well, 855-752-4842. Michael Walls, when this all goes down, he puts out a couple of emojis in the signal. Yeah, yeah. One's a fist bump. Then it's followed immediately by the American flag, and then a fire. Like this is
he deleted the emoji of himself picking his nose.
I mean, come on, man. I mean, this is just not serious to me, man. You know, it's not serious. It seems dangerous. It's exposing secrets and could be detrimental. Now, thankfully, this went over to Goldberg at the Atlantic, who was skeptical as one would be when you're all of a sudden invited into these kinds of things. And he didn't in his article put forth or print any of those kinds of details that he received, and it's been confirmed. And other folks are saying Chris Coons, who's in the Senate Intelligence Committee, saying these folks are breaking the law in multiple ways. But there we go. That's this administration.
Remind me to refer to Steve Bannon when we come back.
We'll talk about Steve Bannon with Harvey K, Professor Emeritus of Democracy. We still have that, right, Harvey?
Finally, a voice for real news and great conversation in the Fox Valley, WISS.
Remembering Vietnam, brought to you by The Dispensary.
There's a group that was really loyal to us that I will never forget, the Hmongs. When people used to complain about them coming to America, I would tell them, you'd understand. They fought for us and we abandoned them. I have many, many Hmong friends to this day. I always had to laugh when I thought about my dad's advice as to why joining the Navy would be better than the Army. There was a time halfway through my tour that I wrote him a letter. Dear Dad, it's been raining for 6 weeks. I'm cold and I'm wet all the time. I'm eating sea rations from 1945. Where the hell is the warm bed and three hot meals you said I'd have if I joined the Navy? Love, your waterlogged son. Jim Barlament, Marine Corpsman, United States Navy.
Hear this complete story at WISS.FM. Click on Remembering Vietnam. Brought to you by The Dispensary. Online at TheD8Dispensary.com.
I'm still going for it, even with higher stroke risk from atrial fibrillation and a regular heartbeat not caused by a heart valve problem. Over a 3-year study, Eliquis apixaban tablets reduced stroke risk better than warfarin, and over 97% of Eliquis patients did not experience a stroke. A first stroke occurred in 2.9% of warfarin patients versus 2.3% of Eliquis patients.
Don't stop taking prescription Eliquis without asking your doctor. It may increase your stroke risk. Eliquis can cause serious and in rare cases fatal bleeding. Don't take Eliquis if you have an artificial heart valve, abnormal bleeding, or antiphospholipid syndrome. While taking, you may bruise more easily or take longer for bleeding to stop. A spinal injection while on Eliquis increases risk of blood clots, which may cause paralysis, the inability to move. Get medical help right away for unexpected bleeding, unusual bruising, or tingling, numbness, or muscle weakness. Medications such as aspirin products, NSAIDs, SSRIs, SNRIs, and blood thinners may increase bleeding risk. Tell your doctor about all planned medical or dental procedures. Learn more at Eliquis.com or call 1-855-ELIQUIS.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of the Todd Allball Show.
To the Dom Salvia Show. 855.
Hey folks, thanks for sticking around on this encore presentation of the Dom Salvia Show. Here are some more of his best discussions with Harvey K.
Can't find my pen. Jess.
Gee. Oh, now it's my fault.
Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, joining me for the hour. Did find some news on the Greenland delegation. Harvey, but you wanted to talk about Steve Bannon.
No, I just wanted to quote Steve Bannon.
Okay, please.
Sure.
Quote.
Okay. So this is back leading up to the first Trump administration. Steve Bannon basically wanted to emulate Lenin, and his advice, I believe, to Trump and others is to smash the state, destroy the state. And I keep thinking about that. And when I heard that news today, I thought, you know, it's almost as if the insidiousness has gotten to the point of revealing our national security secrets as a means by which you can destroy the American government. I mean, that's how perverse things have gotten.
Well, I mean, that could have happened the first Trump administration. Hell, he took everything with him down to Mar-a-Lago, man. Who knows what happened to that stuff? I have no faith in this president, in this administration.
Oh, of course.
And obviously, I mean, it's nefarious, certainly, if it was purposeful. But even evil and stupid, Harvey, I mean, not a great combination. How does this happen? And how is not everybody canned? You know what I'm saying? And I cannot wait to listen to Fox News. Don't call it news. I cannot wait to hear the conservative talk radio folks. I can't wait to hear the conservative pundits. Well, how are you going to spin this? What is your defense of this?
Well, consider this. During the break, I Googled Michael Waltz. Okay, if I've got the right guy.
Yeah.
He was a former Army Special Forces officer. I mean, what is that? What kind of people are we dealing with here? I mean, Army Special Forces, and then he's sending out, in quotes, state secrets to to failing magazines like The Atlantic.
Michael Waltz. And as he wrote, I assume Michael Waltz in question was President Trump's national security advisor. I mean, this is the administration. There's no getting around this. This is everybody, quote, the national security leaders. These are the leaders. And they were so critical with the Biden administration. They're so critical, of course, going back to the black guy, of course, the Obama administration. Very critical. But what's the reaction now? What is the righty reaction now? Oh, I wish I could take it back. That's what Fox Don't Call It News says. I wish I could take it back.
We're not calling for massive investigations. We're not calling for hearings that never end.
You know, it's funny. I said to Lorna, I said to my wife earlier, I said, you know, at least if we had the House the Democrats could at least, do some kind of investigation. My God, what are the chances the Republicans are even going to say anything about that?
Man, I mean, I'm with you, man. If I was a betting man, they're not going to do squat. I mean, they're not going to open an investigation into their own. I don't believe that for a minute. But if they were righteous, they absolutely would, man. You know what I'm saying? If I believe in X, Y, and Z, and my party or anybody goes against X, Y, and Z, and it's determined that it's illegal or unconstitutional or breaking the law because it's not an approved system, whatever the case is, yeah, man, that's what you do. That's called credibility. Do you know what I mean? That's not selling out. That's not buying in. That's called following through on the principles by which you were elected, on the Constitution by which you swore an oath.
Right. Swore an oath.
But doesn't mean anything, Harvey. It doesn't mean anything to these people.
Nothing. You're right. Absolutely nothing.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salva Show. That's Harvey K. Okay, real quick before we get to the callers, ABC News reporting. Second Lady Usha Vance will be part of a delegation traveling to Greenland this week after Trump's repeated statements that the U.S. should own and control the semi-autonomous Danish territory. Because, I mean, if Putin can do it, why can't I want one too. The U.S. has a vested national security interest in the Arctic region, and it should not be a surprise that National Security Advisor and Secretary of Energy are visiting a U.S. space base to get firsthand briefings from our service members on the ground, the National Security Council spokesperson Brian Hughes said in a statement. Now, Greenland's prime minister in a statement called the upcoming visit, quote, very aggressive American pressure against the Greenlandic community and called for an international community to step in to rebuke it. Making friends everywhere, influencing people and making friends, Harvey, everywhere we go. And the old man, when presented with these questions, doesn't know anything.
Couldn't remember Usha's name, so there was that. Yeah, oh my
God. Is that true? Yeah. Is that true?
Yeah, I would very much like to say proud of the Mrs. J.D. Vance.
First lady.
What's her name?
The wife of the vice president.
Oh, do we have some?
He may have asked Melania first, but she probably gave him the finger.
She'd have to be there to give him the finger, man. Let's get the caller in. Mark from the SEC, you are up. Happy Monday. Mark, you're on with Dom and Harvey K.
But kill her in his email.
Right, man.
For the love of God. I mean, nobody looked at the CC list of this thing. And why is this going? And as you just mentioned, I was talking to her. You have emojis on a phone call.
Yeah.
But I mean, this is the kind of thing you have a phone call on a secured line to do this stuff, rather than send an email that can go anywhere. It gets forwarded to I mean, I just I'm trying to keep my jaw from dropping down to my chest because this is just such amateur hour stuff.
And nobody
noticed this until the guy from the Atlantic actually.
Right. He was hanging out there like a fly on the wall for like a week or something, man. And not only that, Mark and Harvey, thank you for the call, Mark. Harvey, no one else on that Signal conversation piped up and said a word. Nobody thought that this was a bad idea.
They all thought it was fun. They were high-fiving each other on video call, I'm sure.
And no one looked at who all was on that list to maybe go, oh. Who's this other one?
Who's that guy? Who's a guy that's not responding to any of our fun little jokes and are ripping on their European allies and trying to shake down what Egypt and Europe? Because if we do something, you guys gotta what was the term again, Harvey?
Remunerate.
Thank you. We've got to get remunerated. Back in my day, they just called it extortion. But, it's really fancy when Stephen Miller says it. Folks, come back with us. Some good news. Some great news. Well, we do good news. Tell us something good at the end of the hour, which we'll always do. But, man, you see the crowds for Bernie and AOC over the weekend? It is outrageous. 15,000 in Phoenix, 30,000+ in Colorado. We're going to go there next with Harvey K., Professor Emeritus from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Join us.
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
We're 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News, I'm Lisa Hale. Another candidate has announced their campaign for the top spot in the state's Democratic Party. Civic Media's Jimmy Cuska has more.
A fourth candidate has announced a run for the chair of the Democratic Party of Wisconsin. Joe Sopecki, who teased his campaign following current chair Ben Wickler's announcement that he wasn't running again, said Democrats needed to build on the momentum of the past 6 years with Wickler.
This is about more than who is the next chair of the Democratic Party. It's that whoever is the next chair that we cannot afford to have whoever it is waste time trying to stitch the party back together.
Sopecki joins Devin Remiker, Brian Kennedy, and William Garcia as candidates. A new chair will be elected this June at the WIS Dems convention.
The convention will be held in Wisconsin Dells June 14th and 15th. Winnebago County Executive Gordon Hintz's first day on the job was Tuesday, which was also his first county board meeting.
It's not an easy first day, but I want to thank County Executive Damel and Ethan Hollenberger for sitting down with me yesterday and going through a very professional transition and briefing me, giving advice, talking, getting me up to speed.
Hintz, a former member of the Wisconsin Assembly, defeated John Damel in the April election to become Winnebago County Exec. A proposed bill in the Wisconsin State Assembly would add more regulations for energy projects across the state. The 2025 Wisconsin Energy Reform Act seeks to discourage energy companies from using good farmland for renewable energy projects and outlines the specific rights of affected landowners. Under the legislation, energy companies would be required to provide written notice of their plans to each property owner within 1 mile of a proposed facility at least 45 days before seeking approvals from the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin. I'm Lisa Hale for 98.3 and 96.5 WISS News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It's become an albatross for me. I just wish it was gone. Those are the words of Home Alone 2 Lost in New York director Chris Columbus. He is referring to the 7-second cameo by Donald Trump in the film. Columbus wants the Trump cameo removed from the film, saying it's become a curse and adding that the 47th president bullied his way into the movie, telling the production they couldn't shoot at the Plaza Hotel unless he was in the film. Columbus joked that if he cuts the cameo, he could be deemed not fit to live in America and deported. I think he was joking. Here's a quick pick. The show Mobland on Paramount Plus is pretty good. The Guy Ritchie directed show stars Pierce Brosnan, Helen Mirren, and Thomas Hardy. It's a fast-moving mob caper that doesn't hold back on gang violence. It is shot with Ritchie's classic pacing, so even if there is a moment you get bored with, it's quickly over. I'm 3 episodes in, and we'll keep you posted. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This report sponsored by the City of Marinette, home of the Queen Marinette Run the River Powerboat Races June 7th and 8th. More details at fishonmarinette.com.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Scattered storms this evening, some could be strong, still a shower or two overnight, and a low in the low 50s. More showers and storms possible tomorrow, mostly cloudy and a high in the mid-60s. Mostly dry and pleasant for the weekend, with highs in the 50s.
Currently at 62 degrees.
Mark your calendars for heart-pumping, exhilarating action at the 2025 Queen Marinette's Run the River Powerboat Races in Marinette, Wisconsin on June 7th and 8th. The action will be nonstop as these high-octane boats reach speeds of over 105 miles per hour. Races kick off on Saturday and Sunday at 12:30 p.m. and run throughout the day. Free for the whole family, this is the perfect summertime weekend getaway. For more information, head to fishonmarinette.com and click on the events page.
When we got our home appraised, we felt robbed. Compared to a similar home right around the corner, our appraisal was $80,000 less.
Latino and Black homeowners are about twice as likely as white homeowners to get low appraisals. If you believe your home has been unfairly appraised because of race or national origin, contact HUD at hud.gov/fairhousing. That's hud.gov/fairhousing. Everyone has a right to fair housing. A public service message from HUD in partnership with the National Fair Housing Alliance.
The Dr. Kristen Lierley Show.
This week, we are talking with Emmy Award-winning journalist and Green Bay gal Kelly Peterson and Lana Nyland, founder and CEO of Ukrainian Patriot.
Saturday and Sunday afternoons at 3 on WGBW and WISS.
Brother Bellis in the back, sweet singers in the front, cruising down the freeway in the hot, hot sun. Suddenly, red blue lights flash us from behind. Loud voice booming, please stop. the belt onto the line. Ballet bridge was a comfort, Cena just hides her eyes. Policeman taps the shades and sells a Chevy 69. How bizarre.
And welcome back to...
Thanks for sticking around on the encore presentation of the Dom Salvia Show. Civic Media has some lineup changes coming up starting next week on the 23rd, and at this time, you'll be listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. In the meantime, enjoy some of the best conversations Dom has had with Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay.
Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, a friend of ours. Always love it when Harvey comes around. And, you know, big fans of FDR and progressivism. And Harvey, man, I just noticed that what you did, unlike some Republicans, you did a town hall. No, were you yelled at? I mean, what? How did it go for you? And what was that all about? Okay.
Well, I was invited by Progressive Democrats of America, for whom I've done town halls before, and these are Zoom town halls. So I was here, and everybody else was all around the world, I suppose. Anyhow, I was so thrilled. I've had a very sizable audience in the past for these events. I had 500 people.
Nice.
Zooming in. 500. Why? Because I was talking about how we got into this mess and what history tells us we need to do to get out of it. And I can tell you, I was really, there's an English word. Well, it's American, but they use it in England more. But I was chuffed.
Chuffed.
I mean, I was like a bird with its feathers. Yeah,
feeling good,
and,
man.
And it was great. And the questions were fabulous. And people were over and over again wanting to know what we can do and offering their suggestions and wondering how they can get in touch with local labor councils. I mean, there is something going on. And you and I know what went on over the weekend with Bernie Sanders and AOC. You can give the numbers. I mean, it was extraordinary.
It was. According to Newsweek, Sanders and AOC spoke to a crowd of some 15,000 in Phoenix. One of the clips that had apparently got up to like 1.4 million views that she put out there. Then as well, another 34,000 in Colorado. And I guess some folks are saying that could be even more than that. And, you know, I've been lamenting over the last couple of weeks. I mean, really since the Chuck Schumer call in the Senate to go along and get nothing and play ball, like everything's normal. What's going on? And I think so. In this respect, Harvey, it's not just me, man. I mean, if you're getting that many people chiming in, if AOC and Bernie are getting folks showing up to that degree, it seems like there's something in the air.
Oh, absolutely. I'll give you examples from around the country. Okay. So as you know, I work a bit with this veterans group, progressive veterans group down in Sarasota.
Yeah.
And I had suggested to them that they make contact with even the conservative American Legion because of what the Trump administration is doing to the Veterans Affairs Administration. And they did follow through, and they said that the response is remarkable. And I bet all around the country, veterans groups are wondering, what can we do? And they're making contact with each other. That's one.
Yeah.
It's also the case that there are labor councils. Yesterday, a guy who was calling in from Pennsylvania, Western Pennsylvania, said that his local Democratic Party and the labor council are cooperating. I mean, there's this kind of activity that's bubbling up, even in places where, you know, Trump may well have won the vote last time. Things are happening. I mean, they try to claim that the Trumpsters at some point have said, well, these are paid agents who are showing up at our town halls, you know, to upset things. But, you know, they're in trouble. They're in trouble. I hope. I mean, sorry.
Well,
from my mouth to God's ears. Right.
Well, it seems like it seems the case. And again, you know, to have that many people show up, you know, not that long after a defeat. And it wasn't a mandate that the Republicans won by any means. So there's still passion, and that's good to see. You know, the leadership, who is it? Well, it's not Chuck, in my opinion, and AOC and Sanders. And I saw Bernie Sanders was getting interviewed, I believe, maybe by CNN. And the interviewer, I forget the person's name, was asking about, hey, what do you think about, you know, Schumer? Should Schumer continue on, or, you know, something along those lines? Sanders wasn't having any of it. Any of it. Didn't want to talk about it. And he's like, that's inside the Beltway stuff. That's not what this is about. Basically, I'm tired. You know, and that's not what we're doing. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, Bernie's out there like this. He's 80-some years old, man, out there. He doesn't have to do this. He doesn't have to. And he's doing it. AOC, thankfully, she's there too. And I hope more folks get out there and do it. When you did your Zoom town hall, Harvey, what, to paraphrase, you know, summarize for me, what's the answer? What does history teach us about how we can react in these moments?
Okay. Well, history, you know, when I was first becoming a historian and then a political scientist and a sociologist, I thought history doesn't tell us exactly what to do. But I've come to the conclusion that there are understandings of history that can tell us exactly what to do. So here's the thing. Back in 1935, Sinclair Lewis from Minnesota wrote a novel titled It Can't Happen Here. That's right. It Can't Happen Here, which, by the way, in the novel, he showed that it could happen here.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Well, the point is, I said, well, why did it not happen in the 1930s? Because in 1930 to 32, there were quite a few people in this country of prominence who sort of talked about, well, we could really use a Mussolini here in the United States. The editor-in-chief of Vanity Fair magazine, the American Political Science Association. Yeah, right. It was in the minds of the elite because they were seriously worried about the possibility of this uprising. Keep in mind, the veterans of World War I were marching on Washington to demand an early payment of what was called their veterans bonus. I mean, things were happening. Workers were out on the streets in Detroit and in Flint and places like that, demanding that Ford hire them, that they, you know, that on and on. Or in the case of Flint, it would have been General Motors. But the point is that why did it not happen in the 30s? Well, I'll tell you why it didn't happen in the 30s, because FDR responded to working people's anger and anxiety, and they responded to his promise of a new deal, and they elected him president. And in the early 30s, right through the 30s, they radically transformed the United States. In addition to all of the physical transformations from fighting the Dust Bowl, look, most people can find right in their own hometowns evidence of the New Deal. It might be the post office. It might be the library. It might be the hospital in the nearby larger town or city. The New Deal transformed the American landscape, improved the American infrastructure, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Why did a million farms in the 1930s all of a sudden get electricity? Because the FDR administration said we can't wait on private companies to provide power to rural areas because they're going to try to do it at a high price. And they created cooperatives for farmers. Okay. Moreover, they literally helped liberate workers. Workers wanted power. They wanted unions. And FDR in 33, but then again, especially in 35, took the advice of Robert Wagner and Bob La Follette Jr. here from Wisconsin, and he signed into law the National Labor Relations Act. So, and that same year, they signed into law the Social Security Act. Now, what's the lessons of all of this? The lessons of all of this is, to rescue, to save the nation, the democratic promise of this nation, from the likes of Trump, authoritarians and fascists and other wannabe
billionaires. Yep.
The trick is you've got to go progressive, if not radical. You've got to enhance American democracy. You can't wait around hoping that Americans will say, oh, let's save democracy and vote for a Democrat. No, the Democrats have to prove themselves. They have to engage working people and say engage their aspirations, their anxieties. They have to articulate it, and then they have to move on those things. I mean, the trick is you mobilize people, not by just saying to them, they're threatening democracy. You mobilize people by showing them how you intend to work with them to enhance American democracy. Back at the turn of the century, there was a writer. He was a progressive and a populist and a socialist, worked for the Tribune in Chicago, I think it was, and a host of progressive newspapers. And he said, the only way we can save the rights that our fathers afforded us is to afford new rights for our kids. Mm. He said children, but I'm saying kids. That's the trick. That's how you do it. So right now, if the Democrats can't get it together, let the labor movement step in its place. We are desperately in need of a organized progressive force to push the Democratic Party to become the party of Roosevelt, the party even of the Republican Party of Lincoln even would be fabulous. My God. Okay. That's what we need. Both Lincoln and FDR appreciated if you're going to save the United States and American democratic life, you have to pursue a radical course of action. In Lincoln's case, responding to working people's anger about the South and slaves' efforts to cross over to the Union lines, he signed into law, well, he issued the Emancipation Proclamation and then supported immediately the idea of an amendment to bring an end to slavery. FDR, the National Labor Relations Act, Social Security, fought the Dust Bowl in the Plain States. I mean, you got to act. And the Democrats have abandoned that understanding. They turned their backs on the FDR tradition and the working class. And it's got to be turned around again. We've got to get the Democrats to go progressive. As FDR said back in 31 to a friend, it's time we make this nation fairly radical for at least a generation.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That's Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin Green Bay. What was the engagement? What was voter participation back in the 30s and 40s? I mean, I feel like we're disengaged now compared to history, but I have no sense of reality of that.
Actually, so FDR it's interesting how Bernie's traveling the country.
Yeah,
FDR knew he had to reach Americans. He was the first really radio president. So that's first of all. And he actually encouraged Americans to write to him. And by the way, 400,000 responded. It was the most incredible kind of thing. That's first. Second of all, he told his cabinet officers to go out and encourage not only workers to organize, but for women, housewives, to organize to keep an eye on what business is doing in the midst of the Depression. And they organized from New York to California, including the Dakotas, as the Nation magazine called it back in the 30s, the first American housewives movement. Hmm. Okay. It started among Italian and Jewish and Black housewives in Manhattan and Brooklyn and the Bronx, and it spread across the country. In other words, he was encouraging Americans to organize to not only support the New Deal campaign, the New Deal efforts, but actually to push him further than he would otherwise have gone. So to engage meant that he literally invited their participation, not only in the labors of the New Deal, like in the WPA and that young people got into.
Civil service?
It was Civilian Conservation Corps.
The
Civilian Conservation Corps. I mean, which by the way, transformed a lot of southwestern Wisconsin, fought soil erosion, which was a major problem in the southwestern part of the hilly part of the state of Wisconsin.
But as just straight up, voting and engaging in the process, certainly I feel like they were more engaged based on what you're telling me here. But did a greater percentage of population actually go to the polls back then than they do now, in your opinion?
Well, okay. Yes, in many ways. And tragically, of course, in the South, Blacks, and by the way, people don't realize this, the poll taxes and the literacy requirements, that kept not only Blacks from voting, but in pure numbers, it kept greater numbers of whites from voting. White sharecroppers, white small farmers, white working class, they didn't get to vote. Yeah. Nevertheless, those who could voted for FDR. They used to hang his picture on the wall in their kitchens. I mean, it was great. By the way, in the 30s, families started naming their kids Eleanor and Franklin.
Folks are listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That is Harvey Kay, Professor Emeritus of Democracy from the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. We're going to come back. It's the last segment of the day, so you also have to offer something good. Come back with us.
Every time I look around, it's in my face. Every time I look around, it's in my face.
98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. Could coal make a comeback in Wisconsin? Pollution and high costs have pushed utilities to start shutting down coal plants across the state. But the Trump administration has announced emergency orders to boost coal, including offering power plants a 2-year exemption from requirements to reduce emissions of toxic chemicals like mercury, arsenic, and benzene. April 22nd marks the 55th anniversary of Earth Day. Back in 1970, Wisconsin Senator Gaylord Nelson called for an environmental day of action that inspired 20 million Americans to take to the streets and demand protections from environmental contamination. Less than 8 months later, Congress created the EPA. Knowledge is power. For a deep dive into environmental issues in Wisconsin, check out my Defender podcast at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
While the teams get ready to choose their top draft pick, you can help Mino and the Mayor choose their top craft pick.
Northeast Wisconsin is home to amazing breweries, wineries, cideries, and distilleries, and we need your help picking the best.
We've drafted 10 of our favorites, but which local craft beverage creator will go to number one? That's up to you. Top craft pick creators include Kerrigan Brothers Winery in Kaukauna, Stillman Brewing Company in Green Bay, Old Station 31 Spirits in Dale, and Old Bavarian Brewing Company in Appleton. Vote for your favorite now by logging on WISS.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick. When you vote, you'll enter a random drawing to win $250 in gift cards from participating craft creators. Don't wait. Voting ends Friday, April 18th. Log on WISS.FM and click on Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick and vote right now. Mino and the Mayor's Top Craft Pick, drafting Northeast Wisconsin's finest one sip at a time.
This is 98.3 and 96.5 WISS, home of Mino and the Mayor.
At first we were afraid, we were petrified, kept thinking we could never live without you by our side, and we spent so many nights thinking how you did us wrong. Now we've banded all together. Your tariff made us strong, and so you know you're not so great. There's not a snowball's chance in hell we'll be your 51st state.
Welcome back to the Dom.
Thanks for sticking around till the end of this encore presentation of the Dom Salvia Show. Starting on Wednesday, April 23rd, Civic Media is going to have some lineup changes, and at this time on that day, you'll be listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. Here we're going to listen to Dom, Jess, and Harvey K taking some calls to wrap up the show with Tell Us Something Good, as they always do. Enjoy.
Just P.S. working the board. Thank you for that. I was not expecting that. Lovely. Lovely.
Thank you, Harvey.
Appreciate it. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy, University of Wisconsin, Green Bay, and folks who are providing this fine show so you can remunerate us. It's going to take me a while to get used to that. It's always been remunerate, but anyway, I digress. Let's get to it. Brian from Milwaukee, you are up. Welcome, Brian. Thanks for calling. What do you got for us?
Yeah, I'm going to start with something good.
Thank you.
I'm actually up to now walking 2 miles a day. You're welcome, Jess. I'm up to walking 2 miles a day now. About 6 months ago, it was really hard for me because of my health to just, like, take out the trash and, like, do basic,
oh man,
you know, household chores.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's fantastic. Congratulations.
My doctor at all. Thank you. Doctor did a whole bunch of tests and said, hey, you need to start walking more.
There you go.
Started walking
Excellent.
About a mile a day, and I'm up to 2.
Well
My
done.
That's fantastic.
Thank you. I post a lot on Facebook about the political issues going on, and a lot of the MAGA supporters, of course, laugh, joke, think this is all just such a big joke, and they try to twist everything every way, you know, shape, form. How would be the best, other than just ignoring them, which I've been pretty much doing, how would be the best way to talk to someone like that? Because, I mean, at times I do want to answer their questions, honestly, to educate someone when they ask a really stupid question. But then there's other times where it's like, I might as well just be talking to a brick wall.
Yeah, right. Pick and choose your battles. Harvey, what are your thoughts?
Well, if you give me an example of a question, I could probably give you an answer. But in the meantime, I would just come back with them and say, did your family and any of your members of your family serve in the Second World War and vote for not only FDR, but vote for things like Social Security, things like right to organize unions, I mean, things like that. Just ask him. Just say, by the way, do that.
Yeah. And then, and what happened to you?
I don't know Facebook, but if you can block them, just go ahead and block them.
You can't block them all, Harvey. You could try. I guess you can just disengage entirely, but you got to consider the source, I guess. Susan from McFarland, you are next. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Oh, hi. Well, my something good is, you know, I take my dog out on these nice sunny days and we go for long walks, and that really helps rejuvenate me.
Yeah.
And get me back grounded. But the question I really had was for Harvey. I wanted to know, Harvey, my husband was a lifetime member of the VFW in Madison. And, you know, a lot of the guys that are there are pretty staunch supporters of the person that inhabits the White House right now. So how can you get what I'd like to do is kind of have a listening session with them to figure out how they can change their paradigm.
Well, first you might want to start by asking them, how do they feel about the cuts to the Veterans Administration?
Right.
That's the first thing. And if they say they don't care, then you can only imagine that they have very high priced and can afford very high priced healthcare on their own, which I find hard to believe. But that would be the vehicle I would use. That's the vehicle that my veteran comrades down in Sarasota, Florida are using.
Right on. Thank you for that, Harvey. Thank you, Susan. Tom from L.A., you are next. Welcome, Tom. What do you got?
Well, I have all good things to say today.
All right.
one, I am a proud Franklin Delano Roosevelt Democrat.
Yes.
Second, for that gentleman that called in, you might want to ask, can we agree at least on the fact that we need to get all money out of politics and all lobbyists out of politics? That might be a good question that you could both agree upon. I am down to 13.9% body fat.
Oh,
December 1st.
Wow.
Working out. Yep. And walking about 10 miles a day, as well as going to the gym. So I feel very, very good about that. Also, you know, the goal of the Republican Party has been to really scrap the New Deal ever since it came about. And yes, we just really need to protect the New Deal. And I also, good news is indivisible.org. If people want to get involved doing from the smallest little thing to the biggest thing, whatever it is that your skill requires or what you like to do, indivisible.org, they're having these empty chair Congress town hall meetings when the congressperson doesn't show up. And they're pretty entertaining, actually. And they're actually showing people like Derek Van Ruudwan doesn't show up for, you know, any of his town hall meetings.
Indivisible. Thank you, Tom. Always appreciate it. Well done, man. 13.5% body fat, man.
That's nuts.
I got to go do some cardio.
No more cookies for you.
Harvey, too late. I've only got a couple boxes left. I'm working my way through them. Harvey, the point. Is it always, you know, the money against the money? And then sometimes people feel like they got it too good. We only got 60 seconds. But it seems like a recurring theme in humanity.
Well, it's clearly been a great theme in American history, going all the way back to the very beginnings of the nation. In every generation, there have been working people and middle class people who have risen up to demand that the United States live up to the promise of the Declaration: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness as rights.
I demand it. Harvey K., thank you so much. Going to miss you for the next couple weeks, but I promise when you get back, we will hang out in Appleton, my old stomping grounds. Thank you so much for what you do. Harvey K., Professor Emeritus of Democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Just PS on the board, on the horn, on the cuts, spinning the tunes. Thank you, Jess. Appreciate it as well. And all our fair audience, thanks for tuning in. Stick around. Pete Schwabba, the Nightlight, is coming up next. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow.
We have all we really need. We can live without your greed. We will survive. We will survive. We will survive.
From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS. Earl Ingram.
Tomorrow on the Earl Ingram Show, I'm thrilled to have my friend and co-host Sandy Williams back with me. Sandy and I will engage in a deep conversation about the most significant issues of the week.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
Chef Jeff Grunder with a dinner tip you won't want to miss. The Machine Shed's Parmesan Crusted America's Cut. It's seriously amazing. We start with a juicy grilled pork loin and top it with a Parmesan crust made from real butter, roasted garlic, grated Parmesan, parsley, cracked peppercorns, and toasted breadcrumbs. We bake it to a golden brown and drizzle with white wine sauce. It's a game changer. Trust me. Head to the shed tonight. Fox River Drive, Appleton.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is WISS Berlin-Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein-Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franz. In a deadly campus shooting today at Florida State University. Police say two people are dead, five others injured after a gunman opened fire near the student union at the Tallahassee campus. He's been identified as Phoenix Eichner, police say, an FSU student and the son of a sheriff's deputy. Leon County Sheriff Walter McNeil says they're investigating how the suspect gained access to weapons.
Unfortunately, her son had access to one of her weapons, and that was one of the weapons that was found at the scene.
Police say the suspect, also hospitalized, was injured after he engaged with officers. A federal grand jury in New York returning a four-count indictment against Luigi Mangione, the alleged killer of UnitedHealthcare CEO. It includes a charge that makes him eligible for the death penalty. Jobless claims dipped last week, 9,000 fewer Americans filing for first-time unemployment benefits than the previous week. This is ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hayes.